morning, I want you to turn with me, beginning in the 22nd Psalm. The 22nd Psalm. I hope you'll stay with me this morning. I believe there's a blessing for everyone here, if you will. But we're going to be using the Word of God this morning. Most of you know, you've listened to me very long. I don't preach very often topical messages, but I can't get away from this. I was talking to a preacher friend last night, and I was speaking to him about it a little bit, and I said, I just can't get away from it, but believe it's what the Lord has for us this morning. And so if you'll follow along, you'll stay in tune. I believe you'll get a blessing from it. I want you to go ahead as well. You've got the 22nd Psalm. Hold your finger there and go to the book of Zechariah, chapter number 12. So the 22nd Psalm, Zechariah chapter number 12. Now that Zechariah is going to be just right before the book of Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, all right? So Psalm chapter number 22, the 22nd Psalm this morning. And we'll start reading in Psalm chapter number 22. If you're there with me, say amen. Amen. Verse number 1, the Bible says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy. Just for the sake of context, those of you that may not know, we'll mention more about this in a moment, this is the cry from Calvary at the cross, and the Lord Jesus on the cross. He says in verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Jesus here is crying out to the Father. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he should deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb, thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble's near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to the jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. Let's pray. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you so much for loving us enough to die for us. Go to Calvary's cross and suffer this cruel punishment there, and suffer our pain and our sorrow and our shame. You did it all, Lord, and we're grateful for it. Pray this morning, Lord, you would just for a few moments, you would arrest our attention. I pray, Lord, that you would bind the powers of Satan, that nothing would hinder the work of God. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would just rain down upon us. God, we need your power and your presence this morning. I'm nothing without thee. I stand where the arm of flesh will fail me and have failed me. And I'm praying this morning, Lord, that you would do the work that only you could do. We'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Who knows this morning that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is important? We spoke on that just a couple weeks ago. In fact, it's the most important event in all of history. But not only is the resurrection important, I want you to understand that the details, all the many details surrounding it, so many times we miss when reading and studying the Word of God, but those details surrounding it are also important. And they're important because they speak to us. They're important because they tell a story. They're important because they have something to say to us. They encourage us. They remind us of the many added benefits we have in the fact that we serve a risen Savior. As we found out last week in John chapter number 14, I'm glad he lives. I'm glad because he lives, there is a peace. Amen? Listen, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I'm glad because he lives, there's a peace. And then we learned last week, because he lives, there's a path. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We found out also last week, because he lives, there is a place. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. We found out last week, because he lives, there is a presence. And the Lord said there in John 14 again, I will not leave you comfortless. We learned last week, because he lives, most importantly, there's a promise. He said, because I live, ye too shall live. Hallelujah. Listen, I love looking at and being reminded of not only the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that he got up from the grave, but I especially love studying about all the significant details surrounding his resurrection. For instance, I want you to understand that crown of thorns that was placed upon his head, and you've seen this, you know the story, and you've seen all the photos and the images and imagery and movies and all that, and many times they get it wrong, but they got that right. That crown of thorns, those long spikes that were driven into the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that there's significance with that crown of thorns. You'll remember back when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, part of the curse, part of the judgment was that God cursed the earth. And the Lord said when they sinned in the garden, he said that the earth would then bring forth thorns and thistles. And you walk around, next time you see a thorn bush, you'll be reminded of the fact that it is because sin entered the world and God cursed the earth with that thorn and thistles. But I'm glad this morning, praise God, that on some of those thorn bushes, at the top of them, there's a rose. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ hung upon that cross, that crown of thorns was beat upon his head, you know what he was doing? He was reversing the curse. That curse that was placed upon all of mankind. He broke down that wall of partition between us. Understand, oh, there's a significance with that crown of thorns. And there was a message there when that crown of thorns was placed upon his head. Jesus was reversing the curse. Had a significant message and a significant meaning. Not only that, when Christ's empty clothes, you remember the scene of the tomb just for a moment. Let's go back there early that Sunday morning, that Easter, first resurrection Sunday morning, and look in that borrowed tomb for just a moment. You'll remember those clothes that were laying over in the corner empty. And that napkin was folded very neatly, laying in a place by itself, the Bible tells us. Understand their significance. You see, those clothes that were there, you go into your child's bedroom, you're looking for them, and you see there's their clothes laying on the bed, but they're not in them. No, that tells you they're gone. They're not there. But now watch this. That napkin, not only them clothes say he was gone, but that napkin said, he's coming back. You see, those clothes that were empty there were laying over there in the corner, and no doubt they come in, they see, well, they're looking for Jesus. They're going to take his body and anoint it, but there ain't nothing but clothes laying there. Back in those days, in Bible days, what they would do when they were going to be excused from the table, just like even now I do it almost every time if I'm out at a restaurant, when I'm finished, I crumble up my napkin, I throw it on the plate, and I set it to the side. And anybody that's been a waiter for any amount of time, they know that means he's finished. It doesn't matter if it's half full of food. That napkin's crumbled up and thrown on the plate. It means he's finished. He's done. He's not coming back. If you're at a buffet, they know. They see that. They can clear the table. You're not coming back. But watch this. When you take that napkin and you fold it very strategically and you just lay it there on the table, you know what it says? It says, I'll be back. Aren't you glad this morning for the message to us? The Lord says, I'll be back. But there's something else about the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that's significant. Something I want to speak to you about this morning. It speaks volumes to us. In the 22nd Psalm here, we have a prophetic cry of Calvary. Here the psalmist cries out in a messianic psalm recorded also in the New Testament. He cries out describing the horrible scene, the awful circumstances of what happened that somber day. But this morning, I want to draw your attention, if I might, back to something he says in verse number 16. He says there, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. And watch this phrase, circle it. They pierced my hands and my feet. Now I want you to understand something. There's something significant about these marks. There's something significant about these wounds. There's something significant about the scars upon the hands of the Lord Jesus. There's a meaning and there's a message. Now, very clearly here in the 22nd Psalm is a prophetic account of Calvary. I want you to understand, people say, well, wait a minute, David wrote it. The psalmist wrote it. The things that happened here did not happen to David. They only happened to Jesus. Look at me at verse number 18. He said, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. In a former verse, he says, all my bones are out of joint. That only happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. So undoubtedly, here we have an account of Calvary where Jesus first received some piercing and some prints and some marks in his hands there at Calvary. Very clearly, he tells us, they pierced my hands and my feet. Now I want you to go with me to Zechariah chapter number 13. Zechariah chapter number 13. And I want you to look with me, chapter 13, at verse number 6. Zechariah chapter number 13, verse number 6. Here we're dealing with the end times. Here we're dealing with the day of the Lord, when the Lord Jesus Christ will return, when the millennial reign of Christ will take place, and we're dealing with that end time, and what we're going to find is that those prints are still there. Notice it with me in verse number 6. One shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? This is the time the Lord's coming back. Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. The first time he came, they crucified him. We've seen it just a moment ago in the 22nd Psalm. He said, they pierced my hands and my feet. Here at his second coming, the Bible says those nail prints are still there. Those nail prints are still visible. In his glorified body, the Lord Jesus still has the nail prints in his hands, to the point that the Bible says they'll ask, what are these wounds in thine hands? And he'll answer them, that's where I was wounded, in the house of my friends. Other words, the marks are still there. Oh, the significance. Oh, the importance. Oh, the message and all the meaning of the eternal wounded hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the next few moments, I want to preach on this thought this morning, the message in the marks. The message in the marks. I remember years ago when I had first come here to Crossroads, and we was doing work on the building, and we was doing some things to the pulpit, some things to the communion table and other things, and Brother Earl, remember him, and I was over at his house as he was working on some things, and I was helping him with a few things there, and I remember I was singing, imagine that, I was singing and he stayed, but I was singing, I shall know him when my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. Then the song goes, I shall know him. I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hands. I remember Brother Earl looked up at me and he says, preacher, he says, you believe them prints are still there? I said, brother, I know they're still there. The Bible tells us that those scars are still there. The scars of Jesus on his glorified body in heaven. And when he comes back again, he's still going to have the scars on his hands. Oh, yes, understand, the only man-made thing in heaven are the scars that upon the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I place there. It's the only thing that'll be there that's man-made. They'll be there for all eternity. That tells me that for some reason, God chose to raise up his darling, dearest Son of God with those nail prints in his hands. God could have easily filled the hose. God could have easily fixed the scars. God could have easily patched the skin. There's a reason. There's a significance. There's a purpose. There's something behind him bearing the prints of the nails in his hands. Why are those prints still there? When we get a glorified body, no doubt, we expect it to be without holes, don't we? We expect it to be without scars. There must be something significant about the nail prints in his hand. So for the next few moments, I want to see if we can discover the message in the marks. The message in the marks. God left them there for a reason. So what do they say to us? What do they teach us? Well, I want you to notice with me, first of all, go with me to John chapter number 20. Stay with me this morning. It was already mentioned, Brother Jim mentioned what we're fixing to read in just a few moments ago. John chapter number 20. The first thing I want you to notice about these nail prints and their significance in John chapter number 20, number one, they mark his identity. They mark his identity. Why are those nail prints still there? They tell us who Jesus is. Look with me at verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, Mark 20, verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and my, I wish I had a minute to preach right there, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Who in here knows that in a missing person's case, when they're trying to identify the body, they're trying to figure out who a certain is who has passed away or who has been murdered or who is dead? One of the best clues or evidences that they can use and they do use is scars. One of the greatest advantages they have is if somebody has a mark, if somebody has a scar, if there's a certain birthmark, if there's a certain tattoo or something else, some special marking on their body, and through that they can often make a positive identification about who this particular person is. Many times when they find a body and the family comes in to identify it, who they think might belong to them by certain marks, they want them to identify this body by certain scars, and they want them to identify it, and they ask the people, they say, is this who you're looking for? Is this who we think it is? And this is this my mom, or is this my daddy, or is this my brother, or is this my sister? And they can be certain that this is whoever, many times because of a mark that they bear. And they'll say, that's him, that's her, that's them, all because of the marks in their hands, all because of the marks on their body. Here the disciples are in the upper room. The Bible says the doors have been shut for fear of the Jews. They're afraid they might be persecuted. They're afraid, in fact, they might just end up on the crucifixion cross themselves. They're afraid what might happen. Their master's gone. Their teacher's gone. Their hope was gone of him ever delivering them. Understand, the last time they'd seen Jesus, he'd been placed in a borrowed tomb. They were alone. They were afraid. Oh, they were vulnerable. They felt empty inside. And all of a sudden, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. I think I will just for a moment about this midst of them. In those times in our life where we're fearful, aren't you glad in those times of our life where we don't know what else to do and it seems all hope is gone away? Oh, and it seems like you don't know where you're going to turn, and it looks like it's just the end of it all. Aren't you glad in the midst of the times when that happens, Jesus so oftentimes shows up and he walks right in the middle of our storm, and he walks right in the middle of our problem, and he walks right in the middle of that predicament, and he's there in the midst of our situation. Oh yes, Jesus stood in the midst. He sees how afraid they are, and he says to them, peace be unto you. He wanted to calm their fears. He wanted to clear their doubt. He wanted to cause them to know with positive identification who he was. And he did not say, listen to my voice. He did not say, look at my face. Oh, he did not say, look at my hair. But when Jesus wanted to prove, they were afraid. They thought they'd seen a ghost. They thought they'd seen the spirit of a dead martyr, if you read on in the other Gospels. But when Jesus was trying to identify who he was, he didn't say, listen to my voice, it's me. He didn't say, look at my hair, it's me. He didn't say, look at my face, it's me. But when he wanted to prove his identity, he said, look at my hands. Look at my side. Other words, look at my wounds. I'm the same one that was on the cross. I'm the same one that was in the tomb. I'm the same one been gone 3 days. I'm the same one that's risen again. Honey, can I say this? Just look at the prints of the nails in his hands. He said, it's better than a driver's license. It's better than a birth certificate. It's better than a blood sample. It's better than DNA. Here, just look at the wounds. He says, here, just look at the wounds in my hands. Just look at the wounds in my side. It is I, be not afraid. The Bible said this, then were his disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Can you imagine when they finally knew for certain it was him? After they'd seen the nail prints and those identifying marks, they'd been in hiding. They had went through the last several days, all that tears and fears, all that they had suffered, all that they had endured, all the remorse of having rejected him, all the remorse of some of them denying him. The Bible says all they forsook him and fled. Oh, after all they had endured those 3 days while he was in the grave, that he in this upper room and those hours of watching him die far off, no doubt that kept running back through their mind, and the things they had endured by simply following him and being labeled a Christian and following the Lord. He was their hope. He was their master. He was their friend, and they thought he was gone. And now here he stands in the midst of them, and he's been positively identified, and they're glad. Can you imagine the rejoicing when they saw the Lord? Oh, listen, we come in to the house of God sometimes, and it's like, ho-hum, he's risen. Oh, can you imagine their rejoicing? I'm talking about when they saw the Lord. But aren't you glad this morning, child of God, there's coming a day that after all the toils of this life, after all we face sometimes by being labeled a Christian and being a child of God. By the way, I'm glad I am a Christian. Amen? But after all sometimes we face, after all the toils of this life, after all we face by following him and from being a Christian, the ridicule we hear, the opposition we endure, and all of the world who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, they throw at us after all the time of believing what we've never seen, believing that he suffered for me, yet I never seen him suffer, believing that he sacrificed for me, yet I never seen his sacrifice, believing that he was crucified for me, yet I never seen him crucified. But praise God, there's coming a day when I'll see the prints of the nails in his hands. There's coming a day when I'll see that hole that was there in his side. There's coming a day that we'll know him by the prints of the nails in his hand. His identity will be confirmed. His works will be confirmed. We'll look and say, that's him. That's my Jesus. That's my Redeemer. That's my Savior. Oh, that's my sacrifice. That's my substitution. Our faith will be made sight when we see him. And I shall know him. I shall know him. Redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him how? By the prints of the nails in his hand. It marks his identity. And it will be worth it all. Amen. When we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. Look! Just one glimpse of his dear face. All sorrow will erase. So gladly run the race till we see Christ. Bible says those disciples, you and I, just like those disciples, will look at him and be glad. But there's another crowd who will see his prince. They won't be glad. Instead, they'll be sad. If you've got your finger in Zechariah chapter number 12, I know we're in 13, back up to chapter 12 and verse number 10, the Bible says this, "And I'll pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they've pierced. They shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." The Bible says there's another crowd that'll look upon him. They won't be glad. They'll be in mourning. When they see the nail prints of the resurrected Christ, it marks his identity. They'll realize, listen, this remnant, they'll realize they've rejected their Messiah, these Israelites, these Jews. But understand, it's not just to them. We'll see in a moment. They've crucified their Savior. They've turned their back on the one who died for them. And the Bible says they'll long for him, realizing he's the only one who can save them. When he pours out his Spirit on this remnant, their eyes will be opened. Then they'll look upon him whom they have pierced. You say, that's only talking about God's chosen people, Israel. That's who will be in mourning. That's who it's talking about. Wait a minute. It was the Romans, who are Gentiles, who crucified the Lord. It was the Romans who crucified him. Revelation chapter number 1 says this in verse number 7. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him." Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Imagine the fear and that swell in their heart when they see him. And it goes on, it says this, "And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. That means every single people group will have lost folks in their midst that will be wailing, that will be mourning. It won't just be Jews. It'll be Gentiles as well. It'll be every nation, every kindred, every people group that they'll wail because of him. There'll be people out of every kindred that have rejected the Lord. When he comes back, the Bible says they'll mourn. Oh, they were glad, those disciples, when they saw the Lord. I want you to understand, there's a whole world of people out here that's having it their way. There's a whole world of people out there that's doing what they want to do, and one day they'll look back on him whom they've pierced. One day they'll look back on the one whom they've rejected. One day they'll look back on the one whom they've turned away. And one day those who have never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they'll look face to face at the Lord Jesus Christ who they rejected him. They'll remember every invitation. They'll remember every opportunity. They'll remember every time Jesus spoke to their heart. They'll remember every time that the Lord said to them through some preacher, through the word of God, that he loves them, suffered for them, died for them, rose again to save them, and they'll know they were wrong, and they'll know they were foolish, and they'll know they've been selfish. The God of this world had blinded them, but it would be too late. They'll mourn, the Bible says, and wail at their bitter end, and they'll cry in anguish from a devil's hell because of the fact they rejected him, and they'll look on him whom they've pierced. It'll be too late. I want to say this morning, if you're here and you've never accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, there's not a more important thing that you can do. Nothing's more important this morning than that. The greatest decision you could ever make in your life is to receive him today. And then when you can become one of these disciples, on the day you meet the Lord, you'll be glad. You'll be glad. Number one, these wounds, they mark his identity. Notice the second thing. Very significant. I like this one. Not only do they mark his identity, but these wounds, it's a memorial of his love. It's a memorial of his love. Go with me to Isaiah. This is important. Chapter number 49. Isaiah chapter number 49. These wounds, they tell us, first of all, that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the Son of God who was crucified and rose again. But not only that, they mark his identity, but they also, it's a memorial of his love. In Isaiah chapter number 49, Isaiah chapter number 49. And I want every one of you to listen to this. They're a memorial of his love. Look with me at verse number 15. These wounds speak to us. He says, can a woman forget her sucking child, talking about a little newborn, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Let's just be honest this morning. While the natural thing is for a mother to love her child, there's some that don't. He says, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. And then watch verse number 16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Hallelujah! What are those prints there for? They're a memorial of his love. Every single time the sinless Son of God looks at those prints, every single time he looks at those wounds, every single time he sees those scars, he sees those marks, it's a reminder of his great love for me. It's a reminder of his great love for you, a love that took him all the way to Calvary. We've sung, several folks here have sung, I think Brother Joe sung the song, wonderful song. He knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine, so unworthy of such mercy. But when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Oh, listen, the prints of the nails in his hands. It's a memorial of his love. Once again, he's not speaking only to the nation of Israel, the Jews. He's speaking to all of his children. Look again at verse number 6. He says, I'll also give thee, verse number 6 of chapter 49, if you'll back up, he says, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be thy salvation unto the ends of the earth. Oh, friend, listen. This isn't just for the Jews. This isn't just for the remnant, but every single child of God. He says, I've written you. I've engraven you on the palms of my hands. Allen Iverson, some of you, now some of you younger ones, Wesley and Aaron, and some of y'all that play basketball may not remember because this goes back a little bit, but Allen Iverson was a great basketball player. He joined the NBA. He only had one tattoo. By the third year, he had seven tattoos, and they began to criticize him about all the tattoos that he had. The NBA even began to criticize him. Sports writers would say things about him, and he said this. He said to him, he said, I have things on my body that are just marks to other people, but they mean a lot to me and to my family. When I look at this one, he said, I think of so-and-so, and I think of this, and I think of that. But then in the final one, he said, when I look at this one, he said, I think of my mother. And I remember how much I love her, and I remember what she means to me. And he went on, and I want you to understand what the Lord is saying to us in this passage of Scripture. He says, I've engraved you on the palms of my hand. There's no way I'll ever forget you. I've placed you there in my hands, and these marks have significance. They're not just marks without meaning, but when I look at them, they remind me of all my children and what they mean to me. It's a reminder of how I've sacrificed for them. It's a reminder of how I've suffered for them. It's a reminder of the shame I bore for them. More than anything else, it's a reminder of my great love for them. I've got their names engraven on the palms of my hands. Brother Mark, I begin to think about this. The Bible tells us that Thomas, in fact, John 20, we'll be there in a minute. The Bible tells us that when Thomas came that Sunday night, that resurrection Sunday night, or actually wasn't there that resurrection Sunday night, and the Lord showed up. We just read the account of it. Thomas wasn't there. And you'll remember Thomas began to rebuke them, and Thomas began to say, unless I see it myself, I won't believe. If you've got John 20, verse 24, if not, I'll read it. It says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger in the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. So a little over a week later, they're there in the upper room again. And now Jesus comes. It says, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. I wonder this morning, Brother Mark, I wonder this morning if when the Lord Jesus showed up, and Thomas looked, and he saw the prints of the nails in his hands, I wonder if Thomas saw his name. Oh, the Bible says he cried out, my Lord, my God. You're here this morning. You're feeling like nobody loves you. You're here this morning and you feel like nobody cares. And I want you to understand this morning there's an invitation. God sends an invitation to you and I. In verse number 16, it's an invitation to come and look. Oh, he says, behold. That word means look. He said, I've engraved you. I've engraved your names. I've engraved you in the palms of my hand. If you're a child of God this morning, you ought to rejoice not only because your name's written down in the Lamb's book of life, but you ought to rejoice this morning because your name has been engraven on the palms of his hands. And because of that, it's a memorial of his love. And every day and every time he sees it, he remembers his great love for you. Every time the Lord Jesus sees those nail-scarred hands, it's a reminder of how much he cares for you. This passage ought to bring comfort to every single one of us who are saved by the grace of God this morning. Oh, here Israel, they were going through a dark time because of their sin. They had been taken captive. It seemed that God had forgotten them. But he tells them there, if you look again in verse number 14, he says, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. And that's when he says, can a woman forget her sucking child? that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb. Yea, they may forget, but I'll not forget. I've been graving you on the palms of my hand. They were going through a hard time. They were going through a tough time. It seemed like the Lord had forgotten them, but they understood. This was a reminder to them that God's love is an everlasting love. Let it be a reminder to us that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Understand this morning, His salvation is everlasting. His promises is everlasting. His peace is everlasting. When it seems He don't remember us, we're in the palms of His hands. I love the song. It's about a person who has seen someone with autism or dementia singing about that. And he says, there may come a time when I don't remember him. Hallelujah. There may come a time. Are y'all with me this morning? Y'all all right? Hallelujah. He said, there may come a time when I don't remember him, but he will remember me. Notice again in the text, he says, I've engraven thee, not your name, not just your name. He says, I've engraven thee. You know what that is? Not just the name, but thee are the words, all of you. I've engraven thee, all of your... Hallelujah. I don't know if y'all enjoying this. All of your sin, all your temptation, all your shortcomings, all your problems, all your concerns, all your circumstances, everything you endure, He's engraving you all together on the palms of His hand. The psalmist even proclaimed, my times are in thy hands. In other words, every single thing about us is in His hands. And while things may sometimes get out of our control and out of our hands, I'm glad this morning that He's got the whole world in His hands. Amen. He not only leads us by His hands, but He keeps us in His hands. We've been engraven in the palms of His hands. How can we ever say again that He's forsaken us when we've been engraved in the palms of His hands? I'm never out of His mind. Those wounded hands of Jesus, not only they mark His identity, secondly, they're a memorial of His love. Notice third and lastly, they merit His praise. Go with me to Revelation chapter number 5 this morning. Revelation chapter number 5. Oh, the message of the marks. Look with me starting at verse number 1. These marks merit His praise. They show us He's worthy. And I saw in the right hand of Him, this is of course end time stuff, the vision, the revelation that was given to John, Him that sat on the throne, a book written and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. Boy, what a sad time. No one's worthy to open the book. No one's able to open the book. And he said, I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open the book and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, does anybody know who that is, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the 4 beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as if it had been slain, having 7 horns, 7 eyes, which are 7 spirits of God sent forth to them in the earth. Notice in verse number 6, it says, there stood a lamb as if it had been slain. Now watch this. Everybody up here, watch this. Who knows? Who knows if John saw a lamb like it's been slain? That means it had some marks on it. That means it must have had some scars on it. That means it must have had some wounds on it. He said, I saw a lamb as if it had been slain. If it's evident by appearance, he had some wounds on him. Do you want to know why this morning we praise him? Do you want to know why this morning we worship him? Do you want to know why this morning we glorify Him? Because when it's all said and done, He's the only one with the nail prints in His hands. When it's all said and done, He's the only one that's got the marks to prove His sacrificial death. He's the only one that's got the marks to prove that He took your sin. He took my sin upon Him on an old rugged cross. He's the only one that's got the scars to prove what He's done. Those marks, they merit His praise. There He stands in the midst of the throne as of God as a lamb that is, had been slain. Look at verse number 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. It's evident by the nail prints in His hands. He's our Redeemer. He's our justifier. He's our Savior. And I want to say this, because He is, friend, He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship on Easter Sunday morning, but I want to say this, He's worthy of our worship on more than just Easter Sunday morning. He's worthy of our worship every Sunday morning, but not just every Sunday morning. He's worthy of our worship every Sunday night. You want to know why Thomas missed out? Because he missed Sunday night. By the way, I'm going to run a rabbit for a minute. He stood in the midst of them. He came and stood in the midst of them. Can I just tell you this? God shows up at night too. That was Sunday night prayer meeting. You'll know somewhere else it says He stood in the midst. He was there in the midst wrestling with Jacob at night. He said, Lord, I'll not let Thee go except Thou bless me. Oh, what about Paul? Was there Paul and Silas there in that jailhouse? The Bible said there came Jesus, was in the midst of them. God shows up at night too. Oh, yes. These marks show us that they merit His praise. They tell us He's the one who's worthy. He suffered our hell that we might gain His heaven. He took my sin, He took my shame, He took my sorrow, and He took all my punishment. And because He did, the only proper response from me, the only proper response from you is that for us to worship Him, for us to praise Him, for us to exalt Him, and for us to celebrate Him. We've got a Savior who conquered death, hell, and the grave. I've come to tell you this morning that He lives, He arose, He's alive, and He arose with wounds in His hands. They're a reminder. Every single one of those wounds remind Him of His sacrifice for you and I. Every single day, those wounds remind Him of His great love for you and I. When you begin to think, well, God's forgotten me. Is God still looking upon me? He said, I've engraven you in the palms of my hands. He'll never forget us. While we stand this morning for prayer, I don't know about you, but His resurrection, the fact these wounds are in His hands, makes it a whole lot more personal to me. That makes Easter Sunday a whole lot more sweeter for me, because it tells me that they're not there for naught. The resurrection isn't just an event that took place or that happened, but it's something significant in my life. Something significant in your life. I want to say this morning, if there's never been a time you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't know that heaven's your home. Christ is your Savior. You could know that this morning. Oh, what a greater day. No greater day. There's some people had some birthdays today. That's great to have a physical birthday, but I'd rather have a spiritual birthday on Resurrection Sunday. Amen. You can be saved this morning. You just come down. We'll take a Bible. I'll tell you what the Bible says about being saved. Maybe that one's here. Oh, you think God's forgotten me. You think the Lord's not looking upon me. He don't know about me. He said, behold, look. He's inviting you to come and look. His hands this morning. He said, you're there. I've engraved you in the palms of my hands. While we sing this morning,